What a blessing. Thank you, Ed. What a blessing. Thank you, Misty. Boy, I'll tell you, aren't those kids a blessing? I'm just so glad you're here at Bethel with us. They were all the way down Atlanta, Georgia, and God brought them back here, and I'm so glad. By the way, those ladies that want to go to the Women's Spectacular in Hammond, Indiana, First Baptist Church, October 19th, it's in the bulletin. Today's the last day. See Misty. See her today. See Misty Wilson. You got to sign up. And Misty, let me know exactly how many you have tonight after church, and I'll call Chris tomorrow, and I'll see if I can get a lower rate too. Okay, but I'll see what you got, and if we have to have any more rooms and stuff. And I always make sure I leave a nice little thank you card for. Ladies, she always gives us good rooms there, and usually gives me a good rate. I've got three messages in my Bible, and I've got mixed emotions much when it's a preach, to be honest with you. So I always worry when I'm not 100% sure. I'm going to go with this one. Turn your Bibles to Job chapter 28. I want to be a blessing to you. Thank you. That's although it's only one day at that balloon affair, it's a lot of work. They were working here almost till about 11 o'clock. Filling the truck Friday, and then they were back here around 5:45 the next morning. And Brother Carl, one of those men that won that at the 3 o'clock, at the 2 o'clock hour, he lives over there in Clinton. I went to his home and gave it to him, but he looks like a man that we gave one of those flags to. Yes, Glenn Taylor. Didn't we give him one of those flags, Jimmy? I thought so. Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, I remember that one. A real nice man. He lives right there in 335 Clinton. I went and after that, when you guys were loading up, that's I went and visited him, and I made out that one for the guy in Cleveland. But we had a great day yesterday. Had a great day. You often wonder, boy, all that work and all that money and all that time, is it worth it? I think it is. Sometimes you wonder. But then when you see kids come and get saved for eternity, that girl said something Sunday or Wednesday that I know the Lord's going to give me a message on. We gave what we couldn't keep. To obtain something we could never lose. Is that how it said it? We gave what we could not keep. Because when we die, you can't take it with you. It was something for eternity. I need to write. Boy, that statement. It's in that song, too. Who knows that? It just grabbed my heart. It was like that hunger grabbed. It just grabbed my heart when she said that. Yeah, Barbara. Robin. We gave what we couldn't keep. That I understood. And to gain something that we could not lose. Yeah. All that you gain in heaven, you can never lose. And everything down here, you can't keep. We gave what we could not keep to gain what we could not lose. You think about that. That's what Jesus said, lay up your treasures in heaven. Where people count the rust and moth and people don't steal. Are you with me? What a thought. Okay, kids. Now you got the deacon after you. Now you're in trouble. The deacon gets after you, you're in trouble. But then if the preacher gets after you, then you're really in trouble. Okay. If they keep going up, then you take them, separate them, Eddie. Put them down here in the front row with you, okay? But this young boy's been coming for years. Yeah, what's I should know. Xavier. They've been coming. I love these kids. These kids have grew up in this church. preacher loves you, Xavier. Thank God for these boys. They have been here for years. I bet they've been riding the bus 5-6 years now. They've come as little tiny kids. Now they're teenagers. Thank God for these kids. Amen. And they've seen the preacher's face get red a lot of times. They went through all the VBSs with us. We've had a lot of fun, haven't we, fellas? Maybe someday when you get older, God will call you to preach. Never know. Yeah. Yeah, amen. In the new church. Amen. Amen. He's got a vision. Keep them buses running. Keep those buses running. We ran them when they were 50 cents a gallon. The souls of those kids are still important at $3 a gallon. Lady said, I see you run buses. I said, you'll never see us not run buses as long as I'm pastor. We might not be able to run as many, but we'll run. We're going to keep running them. I'm getting what David said. Keep them low. Keep the tanks low. And we'll just put all what we need on Sunday mornings. We'll put the gas in. If it keeps going up, you won't be able to keep your tanks full. But they're going to keep running. They're going to keep running. Larry Brumman had one of the kids on Larry's Walnut Street called today. And thank God for these bus routes. Amen. Actually, Eddie, I thought about Russ this week. And I just gave some thought about him, and I'm going to bring his name up during the message. And I want to preach. I give you just a thought this morning. Jesus is looking. Jesus is looking. Turn your Bibles to Job, chapter 28, and verse 24. Let's stand for God's word. Job chapter 28. Job's right in front of Psalms. If you can find Psalms, it's about in the middle of your Bible. Job is in front of Psalms. Job 28, verse 24. How many have got that? When you have that, also hold your finger there and go to Psalms 33. I'm not going to preach long this morning. Aren't you glad? I'm not going to preach long. I have one thought in my heart that I really want to get to you, and someone needs to hear it. There's like two little thoughts I want, but then tonight I'm going to preach about do you have a song? I'll be preaching about that song tonight. Look at Psalms. How many have Psalms 13, verse 13? No, Psalms 33. Boy, I'm having trouble. Too tired from the balloon affair. Too much hot air. Those kids were taking those balloons. And I think they talk like Donald Duck. I got a high on that. I didn't have the stuff. Andy said I was making all kinds of faces when I made those basketballs. I think I was the happiest guy there when I made one. Couldn't believe they went in. The kids would say, hey, the old man made one, man. He made two. He made three. Yeah, set up a balloon with a gospel track on it. Yeah, and prayed, Lord, let that fall to a lost person. Wouldn't it be something someone calls, Brian? I'm in Psalms 33, verse 13. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Then look at Job 28:24. For he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven, Heavenly Father. Lord, this is just a little thought, and to be honest with you, Lord, I've even hesitated about preaching it. But yet, Lord, I have always tried to be faithful to you. Even when I don't understand, I've always tried to trust you, and someone needs to hear something that I'm going to say today, because you put it in my heart, and so someone needs to hear something. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll do the work of God and help me to be a blessing. Lord, there's anything I can be, I want to be a blessing. Help me to do well for you, that I can be a blessing to the folks. And Lord, if there be anyone lost, I pray that today they'll get saved. And Lord, if there's anyone here hurting and discouraged, may they be encouraged. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The book of Psalms 33:13 says, "The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth." That means there's no one down here that God doesn't see. That means there's no one that escapes God's visage, his vision. Can you? The Bible says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon everyone." How many can hear me today? From above the galaxies of the stars, our Creator is looking down on us. Think about that. I don't think we think about that very often. Look up here. God is looking down on us. I love to look at, I love to watch sunsets, but you know what I really love to watch even more than that? Sometimes it even gets a little scary. I love to go out on an open night where it's real clear and see the many thousands upon thousands of stars. How many of you ever gazed up in a pitch dark night and saw the splendor of all the stars? Man, you want to get caught up thinking about God? Huh. And none of them fall down. That's because he hung them there, and it's by him all things consist. Even an atheist, if they look to the creation, would know there's a God. The creation speaks that there's a God. By the way, my Romans class starts this Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Romans class, Tuesday, 7 o'clock. Bring a pen and a pencil and a paper and a King James Bible. Can anyone say amen? And Annie, I noted here, Jesus, under this great umbrella of stars and spectacular view that we have from the heavens, Jesus is looking down on planet Earth. Isaiah 40:22, "It is he that setteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants are as grasshoppers." By the way, that's how come Columbus knew that the earth was round, because he read Isaiah 40:22, where it said the circle of the earth. See, you can be real smart if you'll just read the King James Bible. Isaiah 40:26 says this: "Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts." He's talking about the stars. "That bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names." When we were out there in Naples a few weeks ago at night, man, one night it was just unbelievable. I looked up, Carl, and the sky was just filled with stars beyond measure. God made every one of them. And the Bible says not that he made them, but he calls them by their names. "He that bringeth out their hosts by number, he calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his power. For he is strong in power, and not one faileth." In other words, not one of those stars fails, because God made them, because God created them, because God makes them consist. Woo! Marie, we've got a big God, don't we? The Bible clearly teaches that Jesus is looking down from the canopy of stars on you and I today. Can anyone say amen? Did you ever wonder what Jesus is looking for? Did you ever wonder what Jesus is looking for? Oh, I know he's watching out for us. What's he looking for? I could I could preach all day long telling you. I'm just going to give you two things. What he's looking for. Number one, if you look at Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22, you'll see what the most important thing he's looking for. Isaiah 45, 22 says this, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." Listen, Jesus is looking for people to be saved. Listen, the greatest thing on God's heart is that people be saved. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "For the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance." Listen, Jesus never sent one person to hell. People go to hell because they reject him. Listen, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Listen, God loved the world so much, he gave his only son. Calvary's cross, the blood of Christ, the life of Christ, the crucifixion, the resurrection, it's all for you and me. It's, and all the time, kids, Xavier, when Jesus on the cross, he was saying, "I love you. I love you." Aren't you glad he loves you today? He's looking down on earth from the habitation of God and heavenlies. And he's looking for those who would look to him. I wonder how many of us are looking towards him today. Listen, there's no other Savior. He says, "Look unto me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." That means, you know, when he says all the ends of the earth, Tommy, I wrote this down. That means there's no one, no race, no country excluded from his love. That means God wants all people to be saved in Cuba, in Russia, in America, in Spain, in Germany, you name any nation you want, he wants them all to be saved. No one's excluded. "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, there's none else." I'm going to tell you, that's a statement, isn't it? Listen, Jesus, there's no other Savior in the world that can forgive you of your sins and give you eternal life, give you a home in heaven. Look at if you're here today and you've never been saved, if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, you're saying, and you say, "Well, I've tried religions, and I've tried baptism, I've tried Holy Communion, and I've tried all kinds of stuff, but yet I don't, preacher, I'm lacking some." I'll tell you what, you can try all the things of the world, but they won't satisfy you. You've got to have Christ. That's why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father, nobody gets to heaven, but by me." Listen, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the only way to heaven. He's the only door to heaven. That's why he says in John 9:10, he said 10:9, "I am the door." How many want to go into heaven? There's only one door to heaven. It's Jesus. If you want to go, you got to go through that door. It's not the door of Muhammad. It's not the door of Ali. It's not the door of Jim Jones. It's not the door of Roman Catholicism. It's not the door of baptism. It's not the door of it. It's through, the door is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. How many multi-millions of people have died having faith in religion but not the Son of God? How many people had faith in people and not the Son of God? How many people had faith in their riches and not the Son of God? How many people have died and went out to eternity, Eddie, and lost all that God gave to them because they didn't have faith in his Son? How many have forfeited mansions in glory because they wouldn't take the Son of God that came and was shamed for them? And suffered for them and arose for them. I'm glad he did it for us. Amen. Jesus said in John 3:37, "All that come to him, I will nowise cast out." You say, "Preacher, someone would say, well, I'd come to him, but he wouldn't take me." No, you come to him, he'll take you. He says in John 3:37, "All that come to me, I will nowise cast out." I like that. Just come as you are. Just as I am. Amen? You're here today and you've never trusted Christ. Someone must be here today that's never trusted Christ. for God to put this. Listen to me. I'm trying to tell you from heaven. There's a God in heaven that's looking down today. He wants you to hear this message. You need to understand what I'm trying to tell you. He loves you. He's looking down on you right now. He wants you to come to a Savior, His Son. He's looking down saying, come. And He's looking. If you'll make a move towards Him, He'll come towards you. Jesus said in John 5:24, He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Listen, you might be like that Philippian jailer over in Acts 16:30. He said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You know, salvation is not hard. People just make it hard because they want to work, they want to earn it. You can't earn salvation. Salvation is a gift. It's free. You don't work for a gift. You can't speak in tongues to get a gift. Hello, someone needs to hear that. No, a gift is freely given. No strings attached. See, salvation is of the Lord. Psalms 3:9 says, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Stop, bud. Stop, mister. I'm going to come down on you. Matter of fact, I'm going to stop you right now. Go back and sit with Mr. Eddie. Attaboy. We stopped that right now, didn't we? You say, how can you do that? Because I love that boy. He might become a preacher someday, too. He'll be yelling at kids like me. Like he'll say, I remember you. I'm going to get on you, too, now. Like preacher got me. You know, you might be here today and you say, Preacher, I've got religion, but I don't have salvation. Here's how you get saved. Believe that Jesus Christ died just for you. Believe that His blood was shed for your sins. Believe that that third day He arose and He's alive. He is. He's alive. On our papers, this is a church on the rise for a risen and returning Savior. He's alive. That's why I come here every Sunday and preach. Brian, we'd be crazy. You and I ought to be down. If Jesus wasn't alive, Brian, you and I ought to be down at Cracker Barrel having fun with the mama's breakfast. There was no hope. If there was no hope for heaven, man, let's get that milk, that good maple syrup, and let's kill ourselves with maple syrup, amen. Pancakes, potatoes. Throw me some scrambled eggs in there too, man. Coffee and orange juice and toast, man. Let's just apple dumplings. Keep it going. I mean, you might as well roll it all. Amen. Just think I'm doing it now and I'm still going to heaven. Amen. It means you can have fun when you're saved. I've got to get back on. I had lost 15, but in the last few days I cheated and I'm back to about 11. I gotta start again. I gotta keep going. I gotta quit eating that. You guys get me around those pizzas and stuff, man. I ain't got the urge to stop eating those pizzas. I love that Siciliano pizza. Well, that's a nicer pizza. What must I do to be saved? The Lord is my... You know, I thought of the scripture. Psalms 23. The Lord, David said in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, that's a definite statement. The Lord is my shepherd. David knew who his Lord was. He had a shepherd. And it's a statement of surety. Hey, can you make that statement? How many could you today, don't raise your hand, but how many can you today could say, the Lord is my shepherd, and you really know for sure He is your shepherd? I mean, you're sure for sure that He's your shepherd. If you're not sure, I'm going to try to get you to be sure today and make Him your Savior. David goes on in verse 4, and I thought about Russ Volgerson. David makes a statement of comfort and confidence. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. I'm going to tell you right now, the preacher over there at New Testament, I went to a funeral at Russ Volgerson Friday morning. There was over there at New Testament Baptist Church. And the preacher said, Brother Smith said, last Sunday night, Brother Russ said, he was a deacon and a good man. Most of you know him. He said, preacher, I'll see you Wednesday. He was counting on being there Wednesday. But the next day, he had a heart attack. And the next day, he left this world. And I think he was only around 62 years old. He wasn't very old. You know, our life is but a vapor, the Bible says. We never know. We never know. That's one reason I want to get that building up, Eddie. I'd like to see it go up before I go up. Amen. By the way, we're looking in for picnic benches. We're looking at how much. Eddie looked at the Amish guy that shot down in flames. So, Carl, look into what you told me about. But you know what? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And I noticed something. You know, he walking through the shadow of death. Eddie, David had the comfort and the confidence that when he died, he wouldn't walk alone. And I think Brother Russ Fulgerson had the comfort and the confidence that when he died, no matter when he died, he had the confidence that when he died, he wouldn't walk alone through that valley of death. And Andy, I believe as he was taking his last breath, there was angels there, and Jesus, come on, Russ, I'm going to take you on home to glory. And I bet he, woo-hoo-hoo! I bet he did that Jimmy thing then. Woo-hoo! Yeah! I bet he got excited. Listen to me. Do you have that comfort? Do you have that confidence? Jackie, it would break my heart if anyone in Bethel did not have the confidence that when they die, they know that Christ will be with them. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I know he's with me. Kevin, preacher kicks the bucket, don't worry. I'm in heaven. I'm in the grandstands cheering you guys on. Don't cry for the preacher. Man, I'm in glory. I'm not planning on checking out, but if I do, I want you to know where I'm checking out today, man. I'm like the one preacher, Brother Crawford. I've got 5 grandkids. I'd like to watch them grow up if I can. I'd sure like to see what Lukey turns out to be. Yeah. I don't know if Lukey's going to be a missionary or be making license plates in the state of Ohio. I don't know. Ossie will probably become a doctor. But Lukey, I'm not sure. He is a wild one. Watch out for Lukey. If he acts like he's going to hit you, he's going to hit you. Oh, he's too cute. I'm telling you, the cuteness he wears, that's thin. Watch out for him. We're trying to calm him down. He's all boy, I'm telling you. Let me ask you, it's almost this first thought, and I'll give you this last thought. Do you have the confidence? Yeah, I always love being around Grandma and Grandpa Lemley. Grandma Lemley has a glow of God. You talk to Grandma about dying, she gets excited. And it's, oh, yeah, I'm ready. Don't worry, preacher. Grandma Lemley knows her Savior. So does Grandpa, for that matter. But Grandma Lemley really has a glow, doesn't she? Boy, I love those Lemley people. They're one of the sweetest people on the earth. She'll say, oh, preacher, he's been good to us all these years. We're ready to go. It's been great what he's given to us. Such sweetness. She got the assurance, though, when she goes through the valley of death. Do you have that assurance? Look up here. I'm trying to talk to you from heaven. If you're fearing dying, you're not ready to go through the valley of shadow of death. If you are fearing dying, you're not ready. Oh, I don't. I would. There's a physical fear as far as some, but as far as knowing my eternal well-being, I have no fear for that. And that's what I'm talking about right now. Do you have that well-being that when you die, you know that Christ is going to take you through the valley? By the way, we're all going to walk through that valley. Every one of us is going to walk through that valley. Will you walk it with Him or will you walk it alone? If you walk it with Him, you'll end up in the splendors of heaven. If you walk it without Him, you'll end up in the terrifying pits of hell. And there is a hell. And there is a heaven. And Christ is looking down from this, from the glories of God and saying, look unto me and be saved. Look unto me and be saved. Look unto me and be saved. He cries out today, look unto me. I'm looking down at you. Look unto me. How do you get to heaven? Just look up to Jesus. And then lastly, Jesus is not only looking for lost to be saved. He's looking for the brokenhearted, the hurting, and the heavy laden. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. King Hezekiah got a message from the prophet. Get ready, you're going to die. And King Hezekiah went to God and said, God, I've served you in tears. And he said, God, let me live longer. And the Bible says in 2 Kings 20, verse 5, he says, God said, I heard your prayers. And I saw your tears. And he added 15 years to Hezekiah's life. I heard thy prayers. I've seen thy tears. There's some of you today. Some of you have cried this week. Some of you folks have cried this week. I want you to know God saw your tears. You see, he's looking down. He's looking down upon the face of the earth and all the inhabitants. And he, by the way, he saw you. When you cried this week, he saw you. When you had that fleeting moment, he saw you. When those tears rolled down your cheeks, he saw them. I'm going to tell you right now, he cares about you. You with the tender heart. You with the broken dreams. Maybe you're with depression or loneliness. He saw you in those lonely hours. He saw you in those fleeing moments. Jesus is looking down from heaven today and he sees you. Remember, he cares about you. I noted, read Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. It's a familiar scripture. It's about a sparrow. And he sings a song all the time. In Matthew 10:29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? One of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. He even knows when the little bird that's worthless falls on the ground. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. He even knows how many were on there before you lost them. Fear ye not, therefore, for you are more valuable than many sparrows. You ever wonder if God cares about you? If he cares about that worthless bird, as we look at it, we say, well, that sparrow, that little sparrow, that's nothing. It has no value at all. God says, you see what you feel is valueless? It's still important to me. And he says, what you think is valueless, I value. And by the way, you're more valuable than that. How much, if I care about that, how much more do I care about you? Boy, if you're here today and you say, preacher, God don't care about me, I want to tell you something. God does care about you. He does care. He does care about your problems. He does care about what you're facing. Jesus is looking down from heaven today. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. His eye is upon you right now. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, you don't have to face it alone. He's watching over you. Jesus is looking down in love for you today. Isaiah 55:1 says, "Ho, everyone that thirsts has come to the waters." And I like the next part, Tommy. He says, "Come, are you thirsty? Come to the waters. He that hath no money, it's free. Just come. I just want to refresh you. What do I got to do to get that fresh, refreshing water, Lord? Just come to me. It's free. Reach up to him as he reaches down to you." See, Eddie, we know what people need. Jesus is reaching down. We just need to reach up. Are you with me? Let him embrace you with his tender love and mercy today. Isaiah 59:1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. He can hear you. He can see you. And I close in this thought. Jesus is looking for you today. Jesus is looking for you today. Jesus is looking for you today. Are you looking for him? Huh. Scripture again says, look unto me. Isaiah 45:20. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. What two groups of people are we talking about? One, first of all, what those that really need to have their soul saved. And second of all, you that just need to be saved out of your trials, out of your troubles, out of your dilemma. Do you have a dilemma today? Do you have a heartache today? Are you facing a battle today? He's looking down. And all he says is, hey, hey. Lord, I'm looking. Help me. You look up. He's looking down. And more than that, Phyllis, he's reaching out with his love and mercy. Look unto me, all. He wants the whole earth to stop and stand still and to look unto him, the Creator. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart. I pray for the broken heart. Lord, no doubt there's some lonely, brokenhearted folks here today. And they just need a squeeze from God from heaven. Come down and put your arms around them. Love them. Hold them tight to you. Let them feel the warmth of Christ. Encourage their life to go on another day. And Lord, I pray for those that doesn't know you as Savior. Lord, let them see that they're a sinner lost on their way to hell. One heartbeat from heaven or one heartbeat from hell. And Lord, if they don't get saved, they're going to go to hell. And Lord, help them to see that Jesus is looking down, crying out to them, I love you. I love you. I love you. Help them to reach up and take that love. I wonder this morning before we go home, how many could say, preacher, I know for sure I'm saved. I know if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know that he's with me. Who could say that? I know for a fact he'll be with me. I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and I know it. Thank you, may put him down. I wonder how many say, pastor, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure if I'd go through the valley of death, he'd be with me. Would you pray for me? I don't want to go through the valley of death by myself. I know Russ Fogelson was really glad that Jesus was there for him last week. Wouldn't you want him to be with you if your day came this week? Pray for me, preacher. Preacher, pray for me. I need the assurance that when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he'll be with me. I'd like to be like David, to have that confidence and comfort that knowing that Christ is my Savior. Who'd say, include me in that prayer? Just raise your hand. Let me pray. I won't come to you, won't embarrass you, but I will pray. Pastor, pray for me. Anyone like that this morning? Pray for me, preacher. Include me in that prayer. I don't have that confidence. I don't have that comfort that I know for a fact. Pray for me. Oh, he's calling. Yes. God bless you. I've seen that hand. Maybe you're here today and you're a Christian. Your heart's broken. Maybe you're facing some trials. Maybe you're going through some hardships right now. Can I tell you? And maybe you shed some tears this week. Maybe you've cried this week. Hezekiah, I heard your prayers and I saw your tears. Can I tell you, he saw yours this week, ladies? Fellas, he saw you too. You'd say, preacher, include me in that prayer. I need God to comfort me. I'm going through some trouble. Yes, ma'am. Yes, yes. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God bless you. Yes. God bless your heart. Yes, sir. God bless you. I see that. I need God to come. He's looking down on you today. He's looking from heaven on you. He sees you today. Do you see him? He's looking to you. He wants you to look to him. Heavenly Father, help us to look where we should be looking, to our author and finisher of our faith. Lord, help us to know our Savior, that when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that we don't have no fear, that we have comfort and confidence. Scripture says there's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray with all my heart. Lord, Holy Spirit, convict people to be saved today. It has to be a Holy Spirit conviction. Holy Spirit, convict people that they need to be saved. And Holy Spirit, be the balm of Gilead for the saved ones. Lord, there's a lot of hurting Christians here. They're discouraged. They're depressed. They're going through some trials. Maybe they're facing some problems. And Lord, they just need to know that you're with them. Please make your presence known. Oh God, a lot of hands went up on both sides of the building. Please help each one, I pray. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse.